God bless you. The Sermon on the Mount, part 18 from our Sunday morning fellowship time together. Unfortunately, it was not recorded this morning due to a technical difficulty. So I'm going to do my best to go through it this afternoon. Such a wonderful section of scripture. We had a great time in this section this morning. So if you turn your Bibles to chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every tree, every good tree, bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. I then will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's the word of God. So when we look at this, Jesus starts out this section of the sermon with beware of false prophets. Earlier, Jesus teaches us of a healthy balance of not being, having harsh judgmental attitudes. You can see that in verses 1 through 5 of this chapter. And also not being naive about those who would trample pearls and turn on you. Verse 6. But here, it's a straight warning. Beware of false prophets. So when we go through this section and you see people addressed, it's beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. Verse 16, you shall know them. Them who? False prophets. Verse 17, 18, 19, when it's talking about a tree that brings forth evil fruit, when it talks about every tree in verse 19 that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their who? False prophets, their fruits you shall know them. Or, if it's a true prophet, it'll be good fruit. So, it's beware of false prophet is the context all the way from verse 15 to verse 23, at least. So, when we go into this, the good fruit, when it, in verse 22, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we in thy name done many wonderful works? You see, false prophets can do all of these things in a counterfeit way. I think of one of the greatest examples of counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, so to speak, counterfeit, would be in the section of Exodus in chapter 7 and in chapter 8, where the magicians of Egypt counterfeited what Moses and Aaron did. They were able to take their staffs and turn them into snakes. Of course, their staff that turned into a snake was gobbled up by Moses' staff. They were able to do that in a counterfeit way. They were able to turn water into blood color in a counterfeit way. And they were able to bring forth frogs in a counterfeit way. The genuine way, the reason why Moses did these things by God's direction and by God's power was to demonstrate God's power and execute God's judgment upon the false gods of Egypt. However, they could not counterfeit or demonstrate bringing forth lice or gnats, bringing forth boils, bringing forth destructive hail, bringing forth locusts, produce darkness, and they couldn't protect themselves from any of these plagues. If you would turn, please, with me to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians, you see, Paul was a true apostle, called by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But there are others who promoted themselves as apostles and belittled Paul's genuine apostleship. And you see how they were false. In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Paul is saying this figuratively, kind of sarcastically. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy," or the jealousy of God. "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Why would you do that? "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles." The apostles here that he's speaking of are false apostles. He's not talking about the 12 apostles. He's talking about false apostles, and later on through the context in this section, you'll see that's exactly what he calls them. And he also calls them here the chiefest of apostles, and one translation, I guess you could call it the super apostles. They were superior, the super apostles. "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest," or the superior, or the super apostles. "But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things." Save some time. We're going to skip down to verse 11. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knows But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. That we're transforming, a better translation would be disguising themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed, or can disguise himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also be transformed, or transformed into a disguise, as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends shall be according to their works. Those false apostles, false prophets, false ministers of righteousness. Remember the tree cast into the fire? When it says that whose end shall be according to their works. And as we look at this, it is so wonderful how Paul shows this to them. Because not everyone that says they're doing the Lord's work, not everyone who uses the Lord's name, not everyone who performs what appears to be a genuine miracle from God is a true apostle or a true prophet or a true minister of righteousness. So when we see this, Paul is an apostle, a true apostle of Jesus Christ. The miracles were true because they glorified God. The good works were true because they glorified God. The word, the sermons, the teachings, the effort that he put in were true because they glorified God. That is quite the litmus test when you look at different people promoting themselves as ministers of righteousness or prophets or apostles even, as who gets the glory? Are they promoting themselves or their ministries, or are they promoting the Lord Jesus Christ, or are they doing the will of God? Back in verse 21 of chapter 7, but those who do the will of God or the will of my Father. You see, who gets the glory? Let your light so shine. Remember the teaching, the Sermon on the Mount? The whole thing is the teaching. The whole thing is the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light so shine, so that men may see your good works and glorify God, that God gets the glory. In 2 Timothy is a time where there's a big struggle in the church. Paul's writing to his protege, Timothy, a fine young man, a faithful man. Not just a young man, but a faithful man, period. And 2 Timothy in chapter 3. A lot of times when folks think of 2 Timothy chapter 3, they go right to the end. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, or God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. They go right to there. But that's important in light of the context here. If you look at verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, this know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, slanderers, right? Incontinent, no control, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady or rashly minded, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Some more modern translation use the word avoid, but it's much more than just avoid. It's turn away. It's deliberate. It's a decision. If you look in verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these false prophets, these false apostles, these false ministers of righteousness. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Jannes and Jambres is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, but in non-biblical writings, you can see even in the Talmud, you can see that it was known or it was understood that Jannes and Jambres were two of the magicians in Egypt that withstood Moses with the lying signs and wonders, the counterfeit. But verse 9, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. Look at verse 10. But you, thou, Timothy, hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, my long-suffering, my charity, or the love of God, my patience. You've known it. You've seen it. Persecutions, afflictions. Which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, from him, Paul himself, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And now we have, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, all of it, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, true good works. What is needed to delineate between the false and the true? The truth, the Word of God. How imperative, how necessary, how critical, how vital knowing the Word of God is to walking in wisdom, especially concerning what is false and what is true. God's Word is true. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's all about Christ. And lastly, on this subject, we'll go to 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. And we'll go to chapter 4. And when it talks about spirit, beloved, believe not every spirit. It's the spirit of the prophet, or what the prophet is saying. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is or has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. The false prophets would not preach or teach or proclaim that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus Christ suffered, that Jesus Christ died, that Jesus Christ was raised again, that Jesus Christ was ascended into heaven, and that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, the throne of majesty. But Jesus Christ really did suffer. He hurt. He really did die. He really did lay in a grave for 3 days and three nights. He really did get up from the dead. And God raised him from the dead. And if he really didn't die, he really didn't need to be raised from the dead. And he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father in his exalted position as our Lord. So when we look at this section back in the Sermon of the Mount, chapter 7, and we read about them and there, and we read about these false prophets, all the way from verse 15 all the way down to verse 23, it's talking about false prophets. When it talks about the tree that didn't yield good fruit and they're cast into the fire, that is not for a teaching for us to fear about our salvation. For our salvation is sure and it's certain in the hope of Jesus Christ's resurrection. We have that. Like I said earlier, it's not so much that we have to worry about going to heaven as a Christian, as one who confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead, as one who has trusted in Jesus Christ's righteousness and not their own to stand before the judge in that great day. But bringing the ways of the kingdom in our own lives and manifesting them in our lives. The ways of the kingdom. The whole Sermon on the Mount is the proclamation of the ways of the kingdom. And Jesus Christ, being the king, was proclaiming these things and teaching these things in this most magnificent teaching, this Sermon on the Mount. It's something to be studied. It's something to be renewed and reminded and gone over and pondered. The ways of the kingdom of heaven. So when we look at this, next week we will close this out. We'll cover the final verses of the Sermon on the Mount with a little recap and how exciting it's been to be with you and to open these scriptures together and to discuss these things together and to see these truths and to have some of them cleared up in our hearts and in our minds so that we can boldly, lovingly live the ways of the kingdom right now. For we are citizens of heaven now. The kingdom is now and it's yet to come. There's more to come for us to see, to enjoy, and to live. But right now, as we are on earth, we can do this. And the primary point that Jesus was making in this whole section from verse 15 all the way through verse 23 is beware of false prophets, because they're coming, they're here. But we, by the word of God, can know the truth and have the wisdom to discern between truth and error. One of the big ones is, who gets the glory? Is it them or pushing their promotion or their ministries or their churches? Or is it glorifying God in the good that they do, in the word that they teach, in the word that they preach, and the good works and the mighty signs and wonders, miracles, they still happen. But miracles, prophecies, all those things can be counterfeited. Doesn't make them true, because the true comes from God. But like Satan could disguise himself as an angel of light, and those ministers of Satan could disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness, and those false prophets, they could back up with certain signs and wonders. But if they're counterfeit, they didn't come from God. If they're counterfeit, then they're not the true, the genuine. So when Jesus says, you know, many, when these false prophets, false ministers, and many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then he'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. In verse 21, it's really the key. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And remember, the context of this section is beware of false prophets. Beware. So that's a little recap of what we looked at this morning. Hope it blesses you. We sure love you. God bless you. Amen. Amen.